This is Victor Novak, the brewmaster for Golden Road Brewing. When I want to tap the very best in food news, I catch the SoCal Restaurant Show. Let's go, Ducks!
And welcome back. It is the Thanksgiving Eve version of the SoCal Restaurant Show, and we're here with you every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon, right here on AM 830 KLAA, the home of Ducks hockey and Angels baseball. I'm Andy Harris, the executive producer and co-host of the show, and we're enthusiastically presented to you each and every week by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. And happy to pick up our conversation about Lola Wines in Calistoga with proprietor winemaker Seth Kripe. Seth, welcome back. And what we were going to just start talking about is you interned at Swanson, had some other opportunities in the Napa Valley, I think even went to France. What led you then to founding Lola Wines? And you have, in terms of your winemaking philosophy, in terms of what you want to do with your wines, you know, give us a little bit of the background on that.
Yeah, so after Swanson, the world kind of opened up to me here in Napa when I was a kid then. And then I met, the wine industry was pretty small here then. That was in the mid-90s. And so a lot of the kind of iconic wineries had kids that were my age just by chance. And so my peer group kind of, I developed these friendships with the old-time farming families of Napa Valley. And so that was what led me to becoming good friends with Charlie Wagner, whose family founded Camus Vineyards in Rutherford. And then I started, his dad asked me when I was 21, if I want to come and learn more at Camus and kind of expand my knowledge and all of that. And that was when things really opened up. I started working with Chuck, who's the founder of Camus, on all sorts of aspects of farming and winemaking. And then he would have me go to Europe and research different clonal selections and different winemaking techniques and vineyard farming techniques and equipment and all sorts of things that revolve around an operating vineyard and wine business. And so I gained this immense amount of knowledge. And then after 8 years there at the end of 2007 vintage, I had already planted a vineyard that I wanted to start my winery with, which was a focus on purity and wines that are pure from a person with a passion for wine at a good price point and wines I can afford to drink. And so that was sort of became my mission in starting Lola. And that's what we do today. Now we try to make fun, unique, fresh, pure wines of unique vineyards that we farm and that are relatively affordable. So, here we are 10 years later after I founded Lola in 2008.
Seth, definitely in a good place. Share with us, if you will, Seth, where you source your grapes from and your attention to the vineyards.
Yeah, so I planted our first vineyard in Sebastopol, which is the southern kind of part of the Russian River Valley AVA, which is more by the coast. I think at the time of being in Napa, I missed the island sort of ocean life, so I started to gravitate more out towards Sonoma back then, and so I planted that first vineyard in 2004, which is a Russian River Pinot Noir and Chardonnay vineyard that make up two of the wines that we distribute nationally on that. And then we've leased another vineyard in Mendocino, Pinot Noir, which became a great area for Pinot now up in Anderson Valley, that we produce another more value Pinot Noir that we distribute nationally. And then as well, we farm some unique, some historical vineyards here in North Napa Valley, old vine Chenin Blanc, the Napa Valley's only Malvasia Bianca, which is a very historic grape varietal, but pretty obscure here in the U.S. We make old Muscat, and we make Cabernet from one of Napa's oldest vineyards that we dry farm and cane prune. So, we have a pretty good gamut of interesting wines. We make 12 different wines now at the tasting room. So.
Wow, and we're going to talk about the tasting room in a minute because that's an experience in itself. But you'd mentioned you have a second level of wines that I think are only available at the winery. These are your artisanal offerings, and you'd mentioned the Malvasia Bianca, which by coincidence was one of the wines you very graciously donated to the CCAP event, the Michelin Stars Under the Stars, and that was one of the reception wines. I had not tasted the Malvasia Bianca before. I was definitely enchanted by it. Tell us a little bit about that particular grape variety, because I understand, Seth, that it has quite a history.
Yeah, it's pretty significant, really. I mean, unrelated to wine, historians use the seeds in the soil to track the early migration patterns from ancient Greece through Europe. So it has this cool history in that regard. And then, but it's and so it's been made for a long time. It's still widely made along the eastern side of Adriatic side of Italy, and then Croatia, and then in Greece. And they do it a lot in amphora, which is clay vessels, which is a very historic vessel to ferment and to age wine in, going back. And so, so it's been fun for us to produce that wine. I took over the Chenin Blanc vineyard in St. Helena here, and there were two rows of that varietal on the vineyard. So I had never really known much about it either, but we had an intern that year that was a geek for the history of wine. So he gave us all these fun facts and was super excited about it. So it's now become our most popular wine at the tasting room. So now's the time of unique, I feel like. People are interested in more unique varietals. And so the wine is very floral, fruity, aromatic, and pleasant, but we produce it in a lean, crisp, dry way. And it's very light, low alcohol, great ethnic food wine. And we fermented a little bit with the skins as well, which is uncommon for a lot of white wine. So that gives it a little bit more structure and kind of interesting qualities on the palate. So,
and it's unfined and unfiltered, I believe.
Yeah, all of those wines that we produce for the tasting room are kind of going to that, speaking to that purity I was talking about. So they're meant to be thought-provoking. So we try to showcase our passion for different winemaking techniques and different styles. And, some are I think they're all interesting, and they fuel my passion for exploring this whole idea of winemaking and different grapes and styles. And so so the tasting room gives us a platform for that. Yeah.
Now, Seth, for the artisanal series, these are available at your tasting room, but you can also get these online. Is that correct?
Yeah, when they're available, we have them online. So there tend to be small productions, so we rotate things through, although we do make most of them consistently. And then we make some unique styles, kind of offshoots of the same varietals. Like, for instance, we'll typically make a blend that's sort of, our house style or whatever. And then sometimes we'll release a whole cluster, for instance, like Malvasia, that's fermented 100% with the stems and the skins, and 100% native yeast, like very pure, kind of, I call them raw wines. So we kind of push this sort of radical concept of purity, and then we'll showcase those in small levels that expound on the artisanal wines that we make in general.
Seth, also at the Michelin Stars Under the Stars Benefit for the Careers Through Culinary Arts program last month, one of your other pairings is you got to do the pairing, which could be a little intimidating, with Chef Dominic Krenn, who's one of the only 3-star Michelin chefs in the United States. And we're lucky to have her in the Bay Area. But the pairing with the trout mousse was the Lola Pinot Noir from the Russian River Valley, 2020, which seems a little young, but it was a great pairing. Tell us a little bit about that wine, and I do believe that is in national distribution, correct?
Yeah, it is. We don't make much of it, but I'm really proud of that wine because the 2020's challenges across the board in life here with, not only with COVID, but with the wildfires and everything that we face with all of that. So I'm proud that we could release that wine. I didn't choose that wine for that dish. I chose our Malvasia Bianca, and Dominique vetoed that, and we had this talk about she wanted to pour, or she thought it would be better with that Pinot Noir. And so I was skeptical until I actually had the dish, and I thought it was a great pairing, and it was a great wine choice. So I've never been a great food wine pairer, so I was happy to take her advice with that.
Seth, a great footnote to a very successful evening, and I had no idea. So thank you for sharing that particular story with us, because it definitely comes as a bit of a surprise. Seth, we're going to take a break in a minute and then come back. We want to talk about the tasting room experience, but we also want to talk about Botarga and how that also finds its way into your tasting room and connects you back to growing up in Florida. But before we go out to break, if you can give our listeners the best website for you to get all the information on Lola Wines.
Yeah, it's just simple, lolawines.com. And then we have Cortez Conservas for the Botarga.
We'll get there in a minute. And in case anybody had any doubts, Lola is spelled L-O-L-A. Hang with us, if you will, Seth. You are listening to the SoCal Restaurant Show. We are talking with Seth Kripe, who is the owner winemaker at Lola Wines in Calistoga, a wonderful boutique producer that is really putting out some quality wines at very fair prices, which I definitely appreciate. We're proudly presented by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats.